Seven. This is one of those psalms that are hard to read. I don't mean hard to read grammatically or anything like that, but it's hard to read. Because we're in a position where we really cannot fully understand the psalmist, his heart and whatnot. So this falls under an imprecatory psalm. Imprecatory, I-M-P-R-E-C-A-T-O-R, imprecatory. Imprecatory psalms are designated because of their attitude toward the enemy. The verb imprecate means to pray evil against or to invoke a curse upon. Imprecatory. When we read a psalm like this, and we'll read it in a little bit, but the last couple of verses are hard to understand. Why would God's people say something like this? They're calling for vengeance upon the enemies of the people of God. And we have to accept it just like it is. Just like it is. That these are the cries of people. No matter how disturbing these prayers may be, and no matter how morally superior we may think we might be, I would never pray anything like that. And how we're patient with everybody, and we love everybody, and we let everything go off like water off a duck's back. We stop to think and say, you know what, this is real. I was coming over from East Helena there. I merged after the zipper, right there at the town pump on the west side. And you know how you got that, when a person comes off of Wiley and goes around, you got about a half a mile before you go in the main lane. Does everyone know what I'm talking about? Before you hit the bridge. And so there was a car behind me, and I was in the small bus, a church bus. Doesn't say our decal or anything on it, but I was in that thing and hit it, and I was ahead and plenty ahead. Now, and wait, so it's a big bus. Person behind can't see what's around it, but I could see that car try to speed up to keep me from getting in, even though I was way ahead. That's their prerogative. I turned my blinker on, commenced to go in the thing. Of course, there's construction there, so now it's one lane. So we're cruising, and didn't get a couple hundred yards, and there are blinking lights with a wide load, and somebody's moving a double-wide mobile home through the cones. And they're going 5-10 miles an hour, so I hit the skids, and the woman in the car come right out. I think she was this way, far away from me, and she got over just enough so she could glare at me through the mirror. She had no idea. Not until we started turning the corner above the thing did she see what she thought. He got in front of me, now he's going to slow down. No, I couldn't go any faster. I'm not in control. I'm bound by cones and what's in front of me. And she kept speeding up and coming and speeding up and glaring at me. There's nothing, it's these things like that don't bother. I just keep driving. I'm a very forgiving and patient person. Then they started to turn in at that mobile home place, right past Staley's Engineering and where the Helen trailer sales is. They were turning in there, so traffic was a dead stop. She went through the cones, hit that left turn where you pull into the dealerships, the auto dealerships. She went through the cones, hit that left thing, boom, turned left, and speeding to get in front of everybody. And patient me, loving me, compassionate me says, man, I hope that our traffic starts moving again before she can make her left-hand turn and she's got to wait for me. It didn't happen. She barely made it. Oh, it was so, victory was so close. We're cut out of the same cloth, aren't we? We're cut out of the same cloth. We're cut out of the same cloth as the psalmist in Psalm 137. We're not to pray for things. I didn't pray that the Lord. I didn't, honest, I didn't. But I was just hoping. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says, the Lord says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So someone does us a dirty deed, God will take care of it. Okay? We're to love people. Now, if that woman, if I would be the first one to witness to her, I really would. We don't necessarily have to like people. We don't necessarily have to like what people do. But we've got to be lovers of their souls. Because souls are very near and dear to the heart of Jesus Christ. And souls should be very near and dear to our hearts also. And so that's why you don't get in a big fight with somebody over traffic, because someday we may be the one to witness to somebody. There are bigger things in this world. But that doesn't mean you can't hope. You see what I'm... It's a tough one, isn't it? But we should be always ready to give every man an answer of the hope that lies within us. Psalm 137. I first heard the song by the rivers of Babylon years and years ago. I didn't even understand the song because I wasn't saved yet. But in 597 BC, Israel surrendered to the Babylonian Empire. Jerusalem was taken over by King Nebuchadnezzar and his general. And after the subsequent insurrection of Zedekiah, Jerusalem was sieged and it was completely destroyed. And they took, in fact, it says, 2 Chronicles 36 says, and they slew young men. They had no compassion on young men, on young man or maiden, old man or him that stooped for age. And they burnt the house of God, these are the Babylonians, and break down the wall of Jerusalem and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire. And I'm worried about someone getting on my tail. You see, life is a whole lot tougher than we make it out to be. It could be a whole lot tougher than we think it is. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him. Throughout this, the Lord had sent many prophets calling for repentance, but Israel would not listen. This psalm was written during the Babylonian captivity, within the borders of Babylon, somewhere by the river. Its author is unknown, but God has decided to record it for our benefit. Let's read Psalm 137. Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. That's Jerusalem. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive, those are the Babylonians, required of us song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Let's read that verse number 4 once again. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. In other words, I won't be able to work with my right hand no more if I forget Jerusalem. Verse 6, if I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom, in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, raise it. In other words, these children of Edom, were these are the descendants of Esau. They were crying for Jerusalem to be destroyed, even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. In other words, Babylon, what you've done for us, done to us, taken us away, besieged us, destroyed us. Happy is him that's going to reward you for doing that to us. Verse 9, happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this day, and we ask you to be with the message. I pray, Lord, that you get me out of the way. Pray you forgive me my sins. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us on the cross. I pray if there's someone here who does not know with certainty that heaven is their home, know with certainty that their sins are forgiven by faith in Jesus Christ, I pray today they might come forward at the invitation and be shown in the Bible how they can know they have eternal life. Dear God, for those of us who know, not because of who we are, but because what your word says, Lord, we thank you for your word. We entrust your word. For those of us know where we're going to go when we die, we know we're believers in Christ. We know our sins are forgiven. I pray, Lord, that we repent and quit living the life that we want to live and lead and start living the life that you'd have us to live. Help us to be thankful. Help us to serve you. Help us to labor for souls. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. By the rivers of Babylon. Verse 1, it's a place where they remembered. They see that in verse 1 that says, by the rivers of Babylon there we sat down. We wept when we remembered Zion. They had sat down. They had given up. They were crying, not tears of joy, but tears of despair because they had been ripped from their home. And they were enslaved. They were by the rivers of Babylon, not by the Jordan River, not by the river Kishon, but by the rivers of Babylon in a distant land. These rivers of Babylon were probably carved out by some of their relatives. They were canals throughout Babylon, dug by slave labor. When Lori took me down to Florida there for my 50th birthday. I know I don't look that old, but Lori took me down there for my 50th birthday. I couldn't believe it. The canals, you get to go through there, and it's really neat. They were dug by Detroit Diesel. They were dug by Caterpillar and the hydraulics. But these canals in Babylon were hand dug by slave labor. And they were by the rivers. They had sat down and given up. In despair, crying. And in verse 3, for there they that carried us away captive required of us to sing. They required them to sing, but yet they mocked them. They sneered and mocked the Jews that were there because this was the place that they lost their joy. Look at verse 2, if you will. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. They had given up. They lost their joy, even though they were God's people. They were carried away, they were enslaved, and they lost their joy. This is also the place, the rivers of Babylon, not only where they remembered, where they lost their joy, but it's a place where they promised, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, verse 5, my right hand forget her cunning. It's also a place where they cursed their enemies. And they asked God to be vengeful upon the empire of Babylon. Verse 3, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing one of the songs of Zion. Every one of us has been in a pickle one time where we don't feel that happy. I'm not going to raise for hands because I think all of our hands will be raised. And about the time you're feeling really sad, someone says, come on, what's wrong with you? Come on, let's have a smile. And you want to punch him in the nose. Let's be real. Come on, what's wrong? Oh, things can't be that bad. Oh, what's the matter? Cat got your tongue? You know what? Just leave me alone. Oh, things can't be that tough. Leave me alone. And these men at Babylon were ribbing those from Israel who were away from their home. And their answer was, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? A lot of times when we're down and out, people do not understand, nor can they understand. And you really don't want to disclose it because then you really look stupid. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? The question today is, one of the questions is, why were they even at the rivers of Babylon in a strange land? We explained the history, we looked at the history, but the symptoms, but what was the problem? The root problem why they were in Babylon. The root problem was sin. Israel was stiff-necked. Exodus 32, verse 9, the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Hezekiah, 125 years prior to this psalmist, 125 years prior to them being in Babylon, carried away, captive into Babylon, Hezekiah said, now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were. What does it mean to be stiff-necked? What it means, well, I'll tell you what it means to be stiff-necked. My buddy trains mules, trains horses. And if a horse got a stiff neck, he ain't going to turn. He's going to fight you. He's going to fight you. So my friend, one of the first things he does with a horse or a mule, he gets a bungee cord about yay long, a stiff bungee cord, puts it on his halter, puts the other end on a ring on a saddle, bends that neck around, because that horse is going to bend his neck. And the horse will try to be stiff-necked and then runs around in circles until that horse gives. And when the horse finally gives with a soft neck, then he'll stand. And that's when Wayne takes the bungee and puts it on the other side. And a horse with a stiff neck will go a half hour, 45 minutes in circles, fighting that thing and finally give. Israel was stiff-necked, would not give, because when you rein a horse, you rein him over, that neck should turn and boom, boom. You get a stiff-necked horse, you get a plow rein, pull his head over, get that head over, and pretty soon he'd come over and turn. Israel was stiff-necked, and they refused to repent. They refused to listen to the word of God. They refused to give unto what God had for them. They refused to obey what God told them to do. They wanted to do their own thing because they were full of pride. And this is why they were in Babylon, because they refused to give. They worshipped other gods. They worshipped gods of stone. They worshipped gods of wood. They worshipped gods of rock. They worshipped gods of gold and silver. They worshipped any god except the one true God, the creator of heaven and earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they find themselves by the rivers of Babylon saying, how can we sing a song when we're so far from Zion? And the Lord God of their fathers, 2 Chronicles 36, 15, and the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers rising up bedtimes and sending because he had compassion on his people. God loved his people just like God loves us this morning and upon his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words. And there might be some this morning sitting here stiff-necked, sitting here saying, I refuse to listen to the word of God. And pastors up there screaming and yelling, reading out of the Bible, but it does not pertain to me. Just like some of them in Israel. The messenger of God despised his words, misused the prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people until there was no remedy. Too late. Because they knew better than God. They found themselves in a strange land by the rivers of Babylon. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They used to have joy. They used to sing praise. But they lost their song. They hung their harps. It says the willows, but I say the weeping willows of life. How many of us today have done the same thing? We've lost our song. We used to sing. We used to hum hymns. We used to listen to different music. We used to sing and hum and maybe even play and be happy when we heard the songs of the Lord. But we've lost our song. We used to be in the place, the divinely appointed place that God had for us, our own Zion. But we left the divinely appointed place because we were stiff-necked. We've lost our song. We've hung our harps on the weeping willows of life. When it comes to marriage, our relationship with others, our Christian walk. What about our workplace? We used to hum when we were at the workplace. Now we despise our workplace and we hate our workplace and everybody there because it's all their fault. It's the boss's fault. It's the co-worker's fault. It's the CEO's fault. It's the CFO's fault. It's everybody's fault except for mine. And I'm going to sit here and hang my harp on a willow because I've lost my song. May I say this? Maybe it's because we're stiff-necked this morning. And we refuse to give. I will not listen to God. I will not read the Word of God. I will not because I know better. I will not obey the Lord and I will not submit to His authority. I will not surrender to His authority in my life. Maybe we lost our song, not only because we're stiff-necked, but because we sin. We read the Bible and the Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul says, God forbid. Some of us here living in sin, living with sin. Sin is not a big deal to us anymore. I've got things to do in my life. Yeah, I'll come to church once in a while and I'll do this once in a while, but I choose sin because I'm a stiff-necked person. I'll choose sin because I refuse to submit under the authority of Jesus Christ, my Savior, who paid my sin price on the cross, who shed His blood for me, who took the sins of the world, but I'm going to do it my way, the way I want to, and I'm more than willing to hang my harp upon the willow because of pride, because of selfishness, because of me. I love to be saved, but when it comes to service, when it comes to labor, when it comes to reading God's Word, that's where it ends. Some of us this morning have chosen to sit down, hang our harps on the willows of life, and we've lost our song. We remember the days when we used to sing. We remember the days when we used to be in Zion. We remember the days when we loved God and we trusted God and we had a fellowship with God. We used to pray to Jesus continually. Not only pray to Him, but praise Him. But now we've lost our song, we've lost our joy, and we're in this rut, dug out by enslavement to sin, the canals, the rivers of Babylon. How can we sing to the Lord in a strange land? Our relationship with the Lord is not what it used to be, because now instead of singing, "I've decided to follow Jesus," we sing, "I've decided to follow myself." And there is no turning back. Why is there no turning back after following myself? Because I've got a stiff neck. I refuse to turn. I refuse to repent. I refuse to give. I refuse to submit, to surrender unto what God has for me. Some of us have hung our harps and we're weeping and we've lost our song when it comes to the relationship with our spouse. The Bible says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sin go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." That's for the other couple. I have a right to say what I, because you don't understand my spouse. He's this, she's that, and so I can use corrupt communication, because he won't, it's the only way he understands. No, what we've done is we've left Zion. And we've allowed ourselves to dictate what's right. And now we've hung our harp. We've lost our joy. And we no longer sing. Because we're in a strange land. We're in that strange land we never thought we'd be in when we stood side by side and say, "I do." And now under our breath we say, "Boy, I wish I never did. Because I'm in a strange land. And I refuse the Word of God." Some of you kids, how many of you kids below the age of 14 this morning? This is for you. You can put your hands down. Your relationship with your parents is not what it used to be. Why? Because you have left Zion. You have left what the Word of God wants for you in your life. The Word of God says to you, kids, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, honor thy father and thy mother. But you have not. Because you think you got the worst parents in the world and you don't have to honor your mother and father. No. Those are the parents that God give you, and you honor your mom and dad. And see if that relationship, see if you won't be able to have that song of joy that you once had. You'll be able to hum again. You'll be able to sing. You'll be able to whistle. I never could whistle. So that's not for me, but I can sure hum. Some of us lost our song at work because work stinks. Well, welcome to the real world. Nobody... You know, here's the deal. Not here, but when I went to work at the St. Pete's there, I didn't go to work because I enjoyed my job. I didn't go to work because I enjoyed my coworkers. I went to work because they enjoyed me. I went to work because I had to eat and have a roof over my head. But as long as I'm at that job, I'm going to make the best of it. And we're going to work hard, not for our employer. Now, we do work hard for our employer. We're not going to work hard, not necessarily for ourselves. We're going to work hard for the Lord. We're a testimony at our workplace. If your relationship with your boss and coworkers is not what it used to be, maybe it's your fault. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling. Well, he's not going to tell me what to do. That boss, he don't know anything anyway. Just do as you're told. It's so much easier. I make a good employee. You'd think I make a good husband being told what to do, but I make a good employee. Yes, sir. No, sir. You betcha, sir. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, because we're working as if our boss was the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to be the best employee we can be, and we're going to give him all our time with the most efficient use of time, and we're going to be kind. And we're going to stomp our foot. And because of their stiff-neckedness, refusing to listen to God, the Bible says there was no remedy. Why was there no remedy? Because there was no repentance. But where there is repentance, there is remedy. Medicine tastes terrible. So you get a mama takes that spoon and you get a stiff neck and you turn away. No. Give. When I say give, I mean submit. David repented. He said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit." God's people wanted to be restored unto God. And when they got restored, when they will get restored with the Lord, well, they did in Nehemiah and Ezra for the most part, but looking forward to the millennial reign, they'll be in Jerusalem and they'll be in the right place, the will of God, the divinely appointed place by God where He wants them. That place is a safe place. The rock of salvation cleft for me in the hands of Christ if I just repent. And it's a joyful place. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Are you tired of living in a strange land this morning? Are you tired of having your harp hung up on a willow and not humming, not being able to sing? You've lost that joy. You're sitting by the rivers of Babylon in despair. The solution is very simple. It's not easy, but it's very simple. Repent. Give. Obey. When we repent, God will give us a newfound joy. Because we know that all our sins are washed away. You might be here this morning and are saved, but yet involved with sin. And you've refused to obey. You've refused to give unto the will of God. And you're miserable. Can I say this? God will return to give that joy back to you if you repent. And you grab that harp. Take it off that willow. And sing a song of joy. Wouldn't it be great to be able to sing that song of joy again? It's all wound around the word repentance. We have a couple minutes, and Charles, when I first heard The Rivers of Babylon, it was by Willie Nelson. Like I said, I had no idea what it meant. We're going to take a couple minutes, and we're going to listen to the song by the Rivers of Babylon. Then we're going to have an invitation. I pray that we go back to that divinely appointed place, back to Zion, or we can grab our harps and sing a song of joy unto the Lord. Thank you, Charles.
Of Babylon, where he sat down, and there he wept when he remembered Zion. Oh, for the wicked carry us away, captivity require from us a song. How can we sing King Alpha's song in a strange land? So let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight here tonight. Of Babylon, where he sat down, and there he wept when he remembered Zion. Oh, for the wicked carry us away, captivity required from us a song. How can we sing King Alpha's song in a strange land? How can we sing King Alpha's song in a strange land?
How can we sing a song in a strange land? Oh my goodness, there's a lot of us this morning in that strange land. We've lost our joy and we've hung up our harps. Won't you come at the invitation? Repent. Wouldn't it be great to be back in that land again when we were first saved, when we were excited, when the burden of sin was lifted off of us, before we refused to give, before we refused and had a stiff neck. Won't you come this morning? Page 17 this morning, if you'll stand. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me earth anew. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way. Touch me and heal me. there. He'll never refuse us, but he'll never twist our arm either. It's a choice. He wants us to desire. He wants it to be our desire to make things right. He doesn't want a robot. He doesn't want to have a relationship with a robot. He wants to have a relationship with you. He loves you. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to sing praises to him. He wants you to have your heart back again. Praise God. Jeff, would you close us in prayer, please?